I be playing. Hello and welcome to another edition of Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Mark Mayfield with the Office of Student Media at the University of Alabama, and with me are co-hosts Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, and Andrew Deere, Coordinator of Informal Recreation on campus. It's a huge day for the number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. They take on, a resurgent LSU team in Baton Rouge's Death Valley, which former Tigers coach Les Miles once described as the place where opponents' dreams go to die. Well, Les's dream of finishing another year as LSU's coach went to die there, too, I think. We'll talk about today's game in detail here in a few minutes. Helping us do that will be our special guest, Mark Burnett, the Alabama beat writer for SEC Country. Mark has watched Bama closely the last few years, and it'll be interesting to see what he thinks about the game and also the college landscape in general. But first, Adam, we've got some other games around the country, and also we got our first CFB playoff rankings out this week.
We do, and strangely enough, you know, an early game here this morning, Texas A&M at Mississippi State has a lot of impact because Texas A&M ended up being the number four team in the rankings in this first batch of rankings. I think the top two or three are certainly not all that surprising to folks, but number four, I think, is when it starts to get interesting, right? This top 25? What do you think, Andrew?
Absolutely. The crazy thing is, if Texas A&M wins out, obviously they'll most likely miss the SEC championship if Alabama does what they're supposed to do. So if Texas A&M wins out and Washington and team like Washington wins out and Louisville wins out, is Texas A&M going to get kicked out of the top four? Are they going to stay in? A lot of questions, a lot of eyebrows raised in the rankings. And Texas A&M's first test after they come out is Mississippi State at 11 a.m. So pretty exciting stuff.
Who's not a great team this year?
No,
not,
they're bad.
No. They're pretty bad at football right now. But Texas A&M at this point has normally started to slide in their seasons and kind of lost some games that they should have won. So it'll be interesting to see if they do that. Certainly late this evening. I say late because it's 9:30 p.m. But Washington at Cal.
Yep.
Washington's got something to prove. They're at number five with an undefeated team, but they haven't played that many folks. That's probably why they're at five, right? And so going to Cal. Cal has shown the ability to beat people, and they've shown the ability to stub their toe this year. And so
a little Pac-12 after dark action.
Pac-12 after
That's
dark.
Right.
Yeah, I would assume the Huskies are going to be fired up, having not gotten that number four spot. So
absolutely,
we'll see how they respond tonight.
And we've talked about it before, but Washington's killing people, too.
Yeah,
they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. So that's the troubling part of the ranking so far.
Overall, the nightcap games this evening are – far more interesting than a lot of the rest of the day. You've got, Georgia and Kentucky's not all that interesting, but Alabama, LSU, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Washington, Cal are the ones that in the top 10 make a lot more sense than the rest of these games, frankly.
Yeah.
Florida at Arkansas, I guess, I think is pretty interesting too at 2:30.
And, right.
I think Florida going to Arkansas may have some issues. And
yeah,
I still think this is a bad Florida team playing bad football but winning in the East because that's –
What it takes to win the East
right now, I guess.
Week 10's fun because, for me, you really see how the SEC is going to shake out, especially the bad East. And then, obviously, the games in the West become more important as the weeks go on.
The world's most boring cocktail party last
weekend. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, right.
You forget
that
game was on last weekend because nobody was talking about it. It wasn't on commercials. It wasn't a big deal at all because it just was kind of a dog, right?
Although, you know, Florida's sort of tracking like they did a year ago, where suddenly, you know, they're just you think they're not very good and they haven't looked that great, especially offense, of course. And then here they are, you know, that now they have the inside track to the SEC East title. Tennessee has imploded, of course.
Right.
So here they go. And will that inspire them to become a better team? Are they going to find a great offense all of a sudden?
An offense, period, because LSU has been in that same pattern the last couple of years. They've had a decent defense but just looked awful on offense, can't figure out how to play football. And Florida still looks like that, but LSU seems to have picked up an offense. Tennessee, you mentioned. What about your boys in Knoxville? And what's going on there?
It's looked really ugly the past week or so. I guess the crazy thing about the SEC East and Tennessee is a possible two or three loss team in the SEC is going to go to the SEC championship.
Absolutely.
That's how bad it is. So I mean, Tennessee, obviously, they need Florida to get beat by Arkansas and LSU. I don't think South Carolina is going to make it happen. Will Muschamp going back into the swamp should be fun, maybe. I'll be there. Yeah. So there's that. But, yeah, the East is bad.
You're going to go watch South Carolina play at Gainesville?
I am. I'm visiting a friend. It's her birthday more than, you know, and the football game's there.
I believe I've said this on the show before, Andrew, but I think you should reconsider who you call a friend.
You're right.
I think you're like a guy, Andrew. I appreciate that.
I don't know. I think I might rather watch the you know, grass grow in the Everglades and than
right.
go into the
well,
swamp.
I'm a good friend.
Gainesville.
She wants me to come down.
I'd rather watch my grass die in my yard due to drought than that.
Yeah.
Which may be a more intriguing matchup.
Right. That's true.
Drought versus grass.
The sun versus,
versus
the grass.
South
Who's
going to
win?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, like the World Series game this week, you know, I thought that rain. I thought, what's rain?
Yeah.
What's rain?
What is
that's
rain?
Weird.
What is that?
It came out of nowhere.
What is that? Yeah.
Right.
Like, we haven't seen that. And, you know, I think Cecil Hurt tweeted that it's been 44 days or something. So
yeah,
it's been
a
while.
Mid-early September, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, it's a, you know.
It's the weather report from Skybox this morning.
That's right.
You're welcome. It's a beautiful day today. It feels like fall finally here in Tuscaloosa.
Finally.
So we've got that going for us.
It does. And, you know, campus is going to be quiet today with the team in Baton Rouge. And, you know, but that's a big game. We're going to talk about that here in a while. But, you know, back to the CFB playoff rankings, one thing I did like out of that is that they, you know, this thing where you have to be a conference champion to get into the mm-hmm. Final Four. I think they sent a little message that they may be thinking mm-hmm. we really are going to pick the four best teams.
Right.
Clearly, if Washington wins out, you got to believe they're going to take the four spot over A. And if A&M runs the table from here on out but doesn't get to the SEC title game and Washington wins the Pac-12, they're gonna get that fourth spot. But I did like the fact that, you know, they sent a little message saying we are going to try to pick mm-hmm. the four best teams at this time. And we're not going to be beholden just to conference champions. A lot of the ESPN analysts tend to say, you know, they got to be conference champions.
Yeah.
I don't think Herb Street says that, but
right.
But you know, I thought that was a good sign.
Something that we need to look at is this is the first week that they've come out. There's mm-hmm. so much more football to be played. So you know, we get fired up, but we really shouldn't. There is a lot more football to be played, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, and to Mark's point, you've got a relevant Big 12 right now, so that Big 12 champion, whatever we call them, will be likely somebody with at least one, if not two or three losses at this point. You've got the independents that have lost a bunch of games this year, and so you start peeling these conferences off the list of what a conference championship has value, and so if you look at the top 10, there's Wisconsin, there's four Big Ten teams, there's two ACC teams, which is pretty rare. You've got Auburn at 6-2 and Wisconsin at 6-2 in that top 10. You've got Ohio State still after a tough loss against a Penn State team that's strangely actually ranked, 12 at this point?
Right.
And they've got Michigan coming up. You've got Clemson with not a lot of big opponents left outside of the championship game.
Right.
And they're going to play somebody on the other side that's going to be, UNC or Pitt? They're not going to have a huge opponent over there.
No, the only thing, of course, is we've seen them, like the NC State game, mm-hmm. we've seen them nearly lose to teams they clearly should have beaten, shouldn't have had any trouble with, And so that could still happen to them.
They look like a team that won it last year and is trying to find motivation to get back there this year, mm-hmm. but they kind of forget that they didn't win it last year, so they still should have the fight in them to beat the heck out of NC State, to beat the heck out of some of these teams that they're just not beating very soundly.
Right. And obviously the rankings, Louisville, it was not a good night for Louisville in the rankings because Louisville is now, you know, it's going to be very difficult for them to make the Final Four.
Absolutely.
The way it's setting up right now. Mm-hmm. And clearly the big thing looming in the Big Ten is Ohio State and Michigan and the khaki lord, and how, when Michigan finally has to play a real game.
Who drinks the gobbled up milk? Yeah. Well, and that's assuming Ohio State makes it through Nebraska this weekend, which could be a tough game. They haven't looked very good the last few weeks either. So that's going to be a tough matchup, too.
All right. Well, look, that pretty much sets the table for, Games Around the Nation today. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Alabama beat writer Mark Burnett from SEC Country. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone. Yeah.
Welcome back to Skybox and 90.7 The Capstone. It's a pleasure today to have Mark Burnett in the studio with us on this fine Saturday morning. Mark is the Alabama beat writer for SEC Country. He probably has real information to offer us today instead of the kind of things that we talk about normally. So, Mark, welcome back to Skybox. It's been a little longer than a year, right? You were an early guest last year. Last year we were talking about Rosen and UCLA. And how he was going to win the Heisman, and they were going to be a clear top four pick during the show, I remember, with you on it.
Yeah.
And that went south very quickly after that week's.
A lot of stuff we talk about goes south.
Yeah, exactly. Our stuff goes south very quickly.
I don't know why.
Yeah, Rosen has let me down a couple years in a row here.
Yes,
so.
It has.
Yeah.
Welcome back. And clearly we're in another great Alabama football season. Which I'm sure you've had a great time covering. And so tell us your initial thoughts about where we're at this season. And last year we had a loss by now, and this year we're sitting there without a loss, and we're going into LSU this evening. And so we got some injuries. We got some other issues going on. There's a new coach in Baton Rouge. Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Alabama's sitting there at 8-0. Overall 5-0 in the SEC. You know, coming into this season, there were a lot of question marks. You know, quarterback position, obviously, lost a lot on defense. People were concerned whether or not they'd be able to hold up against the run and different things like that. But, you know, Nick Saban and that coaching staff just went back to work and sort of retooled how they want to run this defense. A lot of those guys slimmed down, but they're still very big and very tough and physical against the run. So, you know, they've been able to get after the passer again this year, but also hold up against teams like Arkansas and then also shut down Texas A&M's rushing attack. So, you know, the defense has played very well. I think the most exciting thing to watch about this team so far this year has been the run of non-offensive touchdowns. I mean, it seems like every game, if the opposing team makes a mistake, whether that's a fumble or throwing an interception or something like that, Alabama's defense immediately turns into an offense, and they're ready to return it for a touchdown. And then also, you know, you have those punt returns, a lot of explosive plays in terms of non-offensive touchdowns. So I think that's probably been the most fascinating thing to watch here. You know, a lot of people were talking about that October stretch and how tough it was going to be for Alabama, but, you know, they just came out and dominated like they did. You know, beat Arkansas on the road by double digits, you know, slaughtered Tennessee. That was not pretty at all. And then, you know, handled Texas A&M fairly easily as well. You know, that game was close for a half. I thought Alabama really shot themselves in the foot there and on those first two drives, not getting touchdowns. But, you know, there ain't no, and that's all you can hope for if you're a fan, no losses. And I think the November schedule sets up very favorably for Alabama to make an undefeated run.
Yeah, with Mississippi State not being where they've been at the last couple of years, that's a little less scary of a game this year than it has been for the last two to three years.
Right. And, you know, I think with LSU tonight, it's, you know, Bama gets these two big games with LSU and Auburn. And Auburn, obviously, much better than a lot of us thought they'd be. But, you know, this team is remarkable. I mean, considering all the players they lost to the NFL, I mean, great players. Did you expect it? You've watched them now so close for the last few years.
Yeah, my biggest concern coming into the season was just the overall depth along the defensive line. You know, they just didn't have as many bodies as they had last year. You lose guys like Jaren Reed, A'shaun Robinson, and some other guys like Darren Lake who were able to provide quality reps. And then in middle linebacker, you lose a guy like Reggie Ragland. You're thinking, okay, maybe they'll take a step back against the run, but nope. You know, they're actually holding teams to less yards per carry this year than they have in any year under Nick Saban. They're holding teams to 2 yards a carry, which is remarkable to think about. You have to rush 5 times just to get a first down against these guys. So you need a magical fifth down to get one. So, you know, I think it's truly, you know, remarkable what they've been able to do with this team. You know, just sort of reload and, you know, not necessarily relying so heavily on the defensive linemen. They're building the defense from their outside linebackers. You're seeing guys like Tim Williams and Ryan Anderson become even more involved. And then you got a guy like Reuben Foster, who is a lot leaner than what you're used to seeing in middle linebackers from Alabama. You think back to the days of Rolando McClain, guys who were 240 and 250 patrolling the middle. Reuben's more about 225, 230, but he still hits like a missile, man. I mean, he brings the pain. You know, you're watching some of those hits that he's delivering out, and you're just like, man, I kind of feel bad for the opposing team. But, you know, this defense, and, you know, they've answered all the questions. The secondary has held up fairly well. You know, I think when you look at Alabama's two tough tests, you know, in terms of LSU and Auburn, I think that kind of plays into what Alabama's defense does well. They really thrive on stopping the run. I think if you're going to beat this Alabama team, you're going to have to take an approach like Ole Miss did, where you're saying, hey, we're going to throw the ball down the field. Obviously, it didn't work out for Ole Miss this year, but I think that's the best plan of attack for Alabama in terms of, you know, trying to find some holes in that secondary. But at the same time, you leave yourself open to their pass rushers. And Tim Williams, Ryan Anderson, Rashawn Evans, Jonathan Allen, those guys will get home. So, you know, not a lot of ways to attack this defense, but I think trying to run it up the middle is not going to work.
Yeah. I wonder, because they are a little leaner and meaner, but, you know, as a defense, but and we'll get into this in more detail in the next segment with you about the LSU game, but do you think that, I mean, does it, you know, Fournette obviously is going to be motivated because Bama stopped him cold the last couple of years. But at the same time, without, you know, with this sort of team defense built to stop spread attacks, which they're so good at doing now compared to how they used to do, but does it also, you know, normally against a team like LSU, a pro-style offense, they would just shut them down if it's the running game, and obviously LSU has to rely on the running game. But could LSU might have a little more success running because Bama's changed their defense? I mean, Bama's sort of now geared up to stop these fast offenses. But does this actually help LSU just a little bit, you think, in terms of their running attack? Or is this rushing defense for Bama so good that you think, you know, they'll still keep Fournette in control there?
Yeah, I think they'll still be able to keep Fournette in control. I mean, they still got a lot of big bodies up front. You look at De'Ron Payne in the middle. He's sort of the guy who sets the tone there. You don't hear his name called a lot on the broadcast because he's not making sacks and tackles, but he's taking on double teams and really causing havoc in terms of, you know, pushing the pocket and different things like that. And then another guy who doesn't get mentioned a lot but does a great job on his defense is Dalvin Thomason. You know, he's another guy who takes on double teams, really great technician, really good with his hands. He bats balls down in the passing game. And then Jonathan Allen. I mean, what can you say about this guy? I mean, he's truly an animal in terms of being able to rush the passer and also being able to stop the run. And then, like I said, I mentioned Reuben Foster and a couple of those linebackers, Sean Dean and Hamilton. I think they're just as stout against the run. They don't have as many bodies as they had last year, but I think in terms of ability, I think they're just as good against the run, if not better. Like I said, I mean, they're holding teams to less yards per carry this year than they have in any of Nick Saban's tenure. And we think about 2011 and 2009, some of the other great defenses that Nick Saban has had, this team is actually performing better against the run than those teams. Yeah.
So we're in week 10 now. What about this Alabama team has surprised you after watching them play eight or nine games so far? What has surprised you? What stuck out besides the quarterback play?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the poise.
I didn't want to give you low hanging fruit there.
So besides
the freshman quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple things. You know, I think you have to mention the freshman quarterback, not necessarily because of his play, but just because of his poise and his leadership and his ability to. I mean, this team is coming off a national championship. You got guys like O.J. Howard, Jonathan Allen, guys who are seniors who could have jumped to the NFL but decided to come back. I mean, these guys are proven winners.
Right.
And this freshman comes out, you know, out of high school and is able to not only, you know, take command of the offense, but say, hey, guys, follow me. I'm going to put this team on my back in certain situations. Look at the Ole Miss game. I mean, they go down, what, two or three scores there, and he's able to, you know, respond, taking that big hit, giving up the fumble for a score, but he's able to respond and lead Alabama back. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, this streak of non-offensive touchdowns has just been incredible to watch. I mean, it's one of those situations where – you're thinking, okay, you're watching the Texas A&M game, and you're like, maybe they won't get one this week. Maybe they won't get one. This is a close game. Texas A&M's hanging around. Boom, it's over. You know, it's like it's demoralizing for the other team. You're thinking, not only is it tough to score on these guys, but these guys can score just as much as we can. So it's like, what do you do against this team? And I think that just goes to show you that they have so much speed and athleticism. I mean, you look at a guy like Jonathan Allen. I mean, he's 290 pounds or something like that. He's diving over running backs. He's scooping up fumbles.
Insane.
Yeah, he's scooping up fumbles, shoving off the quarterback who's trying to make a tackle. I mean, it's incredible to watch what these guys have been able to do on defense in terms of turning a lot of those turnovers into touchdowns.
If you're an opponent, like you said, it's a really hard way to lose. It's demoralizing. It's you think you've got a swing there, and then it just goes away. And maybe part of this conditioning and slimming down for the D-backs and that really has helped these defensive scores, because it's just – you can't talk about it enough, and I know the national media is talking about it all the time, but it is a super compelling story to watch as it unfolds. It's kind of unbelievable. Yeah. I absolutely agree.
Let me ask you about putting in a plug for my book. I mentioned in there.
Let me ask you about my book.
Let me ask you about my book. No, it's Mark.
It's on Amazon
actually,
right now.
Yeah, I actually mentioned in there. I want to ask about Saban, because you're in there with him at all the news conferences. You're in a position where a lot of fans would love to be in there, but obviously there's a reason fans aren't in the news conferences. you know, it has to be journalism in there. You asked Saban a question I thought was fantastic back during spring, and it was, did you expect to be here? Asking Saban, did you expect to be here for 10 A-Days? I think you did, and it caused a really great answer from him on all of that. But Nick Saban, 10 years, it's a decade now he's here. Where's Nick Saban at, you know, as a coach, in terms of his life here? I mean, what do you think?
I think he's content here. I mean, obviously he's not settled in terms of, you know, wanting to have more success. I think he obviously wants more of that. But I think, you know, you see a lot every single year. It's a new NFL job. It's a new college job. If you take a step back, why would he leave here? I mean, why would he go to the NFL? His coaching style doesn't fit the NFL. He has complete control to Alabama. Every single year they give the guy a raise or, you know, they do something for him. He's entrenched in his community. And, you know, I go back to the tornado here that struck Tuscaloosa. I think that was a real turning point in terms of making him and his family become a full part of his community. People sort of relied on him and his wife, you know, Miss Terry, to sort of help guide them in a way. And they sent the players out and had them sort of do some stuff in the relief efforts. But he's got his Nick's Kids Foundation here. I just feel like, you know, he settled here. And I think this is where he's going to retire. I mean, he's 65 now. I think he's accomplished a lot. You know, he's probably got some goals in his mind in terms of a number of championships. He may not ever reveal them publicly. But, you know, I think maybe chasing the bear and becoming on that level. You know, obviously he has a ton of respect for Bear Bryant and what he did and his legacy. But, you know, I think he appreciates being mentioned in that conversation as among the greatest coaches in college football history. And the guy's still just as driven as he was when he was 55 or 45. I mean, he's still fired. You see him on the sideline. He's still, you know, chewing Lane Kiffin out. He's still getting after the players. You know, he's still mixing it up with the media at times. So, you know, you see a lot of things and you're like, oh, is Nick Saban slowing down? Is he about to retire? I see no signs of that. You know, I think he's got another five, maybe even 6 years of coaching in him, you know, and probably go until he's 70 plus. So, you know, I think the guy is still at the top of his game and he's showing no signs of slowing down.
Well, you mentioned Kiffin. You expect him to leave after this year? I mean, will he get job offers? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there'll be some offers, but it's all about the right offer. You know, what because people have mentioned maybe going back to his alma mater, but he makes about the same amount of money as they could pay him. So it's, right. You know, do you want to leave? You know, is it about the money for him? Is it just about getting back into a head coaching job? You know, the thing with Kiffin is that you see a lot of national media pushing the narrative of that he deserves a head coaching job because of he's changed so much. And I'm not saying that he's not changed, but he's always been good at play calling. He's always been good at offensive scheme and things like that. His problem was the CEO type stuff, the stuff that Nick Saban does so well, whether it's dealing with the media or handling the outside noise. Kiffin struggled with that, obviously, because he was young and sort of inexperienced. That's my question. Has he changed in that regard? Is he ready to be a CEO and run a program of what is essentially a Fortune 500 company with a lot of these college programs? So, you know, that's one of those things you won't be able to know until he gets back out there. But I definitely think he'll have offers.
It's a different job, right? I mean, it's a very different job being the head coach versus a coordinator, even at the top-level OC job in the country, which I would imagine we are. Right. It's very different at that next level. And so some people don't have the skill set or the desire, frankly. The same thing we talk about Saban in the NFL. It just didn't fit his skill set. It's a different job. If it's a different game, it's just not – it's not the same thing.
Yeah, and considering all the questions among fans about his original hiring here, fans would hate to see him leave now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's for sure. You know, he's done such a great job. Obviously, Saban knew what he was doing, but I think, you know, his popularity as an offensive coordinator is pretty high.
He also stopped running the bubble screen like 60 times a game. That helped us kind of like lay a little bit more over the last couple of years than we did that first year. So what about, Mark, we'll certainly talk about some of these other games coming up, but, you know, quickly, your first reflections right off the bat from the first top 25 that came out this week. Anything super shocking to you? Anything totally out of right field?
The biggest thing was probably Louisville being there at 7. I thought they'd be higher because, you know, if you look at the rest of their schedule, they're not going to have many opportunities to move up, especially with Houston being down. I wasn't really shocked by Texas A&M being at 4. If you really look at their schedule, they beat a lot of good teams. They've beaten Auburn, who was number 9, they have a pretty good case to be there. And if you're Washington, no need to be upset. I mean, you'll get in if you win the Pac-12 and you win out. So, you know, not a ton of head scratches, but I thought the biggest one was probably Louisville being there at 7 because, you know, unless some chaos happens in these next few weeks, not a lot of opportunities for them to move up.
Yeah, great point. All right, well, let's take another break, and we'll be right back to get some game picks from Mark and see how fearless he is this week. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're back in the Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone with our guest, Alabama beat writer Mark Burnett from SEC Country. So, Mark, let's look and see what you think about these fearless picks today. Let's begin at 11 a.m. with Vanderbilt at Auburn.
Yeah, I'm going to go Auburn. I think, you know, Auburn's riding high now. You know, they found their running game, which I thought, you know, was the biggest key to their offense. That defense has been playing well. And Vanderbilt, you know, got a big win over Georgia a couple weeks ago, but I don't think they're going to have enough for Auburn.
Not enough juice, huh? 11 a.m. again, we have Wisconsin at Northwestern. Wisconsin's shown that they're a pretty good team this year. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I think I like Wisconsin in this game. I think Wisconsin is, you know, one of the top 10 teams in the country. They obviously had some tough losses to Ohio State and Michigan, you know, by I think maybe, what, less than 12 points or something like that combining those two losses. But, you know, I think Wisconsin is a really good team, got a really good defense, probably a top five defense in the country. So I think they'll be able to get this win.
Right. Big matchup in the SEC here at 2:30 CBS game. You know, Florida's trying to win the East. They've got Arkansas in Fayetteville. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I like Florida in this one. I think Florida is going to win the East. I think Arkansas may be a broken team at this point. You know, they're really banged up. Watching that Auburn game, there's just no fight from them. You know, Auburn's good, but they're not that good. And I thought Arkansas. I think Arkansas may be a little bit too beaten up right now. Austin Allen's taking a lot of hits over the year.
Right.
And I think Florida's defense is great. The offense, you know, kind of hard to watch at times, but Florida's defense is really good, and I think they're going to win the East.
I feel like that's been the story of Florida the past 5 years, is how good their defense is, but their offense is just hideous.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And that they've really shown that this year. Their defense is really, really good. So,
all right. Hey, how about in the Midwest, Iowa at Penn State? Penn State took a big jump in the CFB rankings this week. A little surprising, but what do you think?
Yeah, I got Penn State circle here. I'm not 100% confident on that, but I'm not sure where they're going to come out after that big win over Ohio State. You know, and also people patting them on the back a little bit now with them being pretty high in the rankings. They actually have an outside shot of, you know, winning the Big Ten. So I like Penn State in this game, but I'm not 100% confident.
The last time we had a show, we were talking about how awful they are, and none of us picked certainly them to beat Ohio State. Did you? No, you didn't, Andrew. It's not a Hilltoppers game. And so, you know, I think it's a different world now, but I think you're on the right track there. They've been listening to some hype about themselves, too, and they could choke on that a little bit.
Yeah.
I went 8-10 2 weeks ago, so I definitely didn't pick them.
8-10, that's bad. 8-10.
You did pick them once, though. On a game.
Yeah, I did. I don't remember which game. You know, they run together. 10 weeks is a long time, fellas.
8-10 is worse than 14-2, right?
Yes, it is. I did go to Western.
I'm not a math major.
But I do know that.
Right.
All right. Here in the SEC, Mark, Georgia at Kentucky. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm going to jump out there and pick Kentucky in this one.
Cats.
Your boy.
He's going with my favorite Stoops.
He's going with Stoops' troops.
I like Kentucky in this game. I know Kirby Smart's doing his best over there, but there are a lot of things coming out of Georgia. I saw some reports of, you know, the two running backs meeting with their offensive coordinator after only getting like 12 carries in their last game. So, you know, I'm not really sure what the issue over there is in Athens, but, you know, I'm going to go with Kentucky in this one.
The SEC East is bad when we're getting excited about his pick.
It's true.
You know, that's Georgia, a tough game to pick. I think that's a fearless pick, but that's a tough one. Georgia's something's off.
Working.
And it's natural in the first year to it's going to get messier before it gets better normally, but.
Georgia's just not showing up. I mean, they're not really fighting out there. It's really interesting.
If you can't get the athletes to buy in, then that's going to be a tougher road than you may have thought.
Yeah. Right.
Hmm. Back to the Midwest, 7 p.m. game, Nebraska at Ohio State, a really big game here.
Yeah, Ohio State struggled in recent weeks, but I still like them in this game. You know, I think their offense will be too much for Nebraska. I still think Ohio State's got a great shot, you know, to make the playoff. I think, you know, I think it's going to be them or Michigan. Whoever wins that game at the end of the season, I think he's going to go on to win them Big Ten. And, you know, I'm still confident that Urban Meyer will get things turned around and make a playoff again.
Okay. With a down Michigan State team, this is about the last game until Michigan for Ohio State to really be scared of. And it is lining up for a Thanksgiving weekend.
It's starting to look like Ohio State, you know, a couple of years ago when they had a couple of bad games or close games. They lost a game back to Virginia Tech early that season, but
kind of
they
the
also
kick in the
struggled,
pants
and all of a sudden they got rolling, and we'll see.
They've got to start clicking.
Late night game, the late night in the Pac-12, Washington at Cal. Good game.
Yeah, I'm going to go Washington. This one, I actually have Washington making the playoff. I think they're going to win out and win the Pac-12. I think they're a good team. You know, they're a very good defense. You know, I think Browning is one of the top young quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, they're probably feeling a little disrespected after being there at the five spot, you know, in initial rankings. But, hey, if that's what you need to motivate yourself, and then do whatever you got to do. I think Washington is going to be fine and probably get this win and go on to win the Pac-12.
The timing for them couldn't be any better with that ranking. I agree. That coming out right before this game, which could be a stumbling block on the road late at night. Not late at night for them, but for us. But that could be an easy stumbling block for them. But that gives them a little chip on their shoulder. I think that's really smart.
Yeah.
That's why Mark's a professional.
Yes.
Well, and they have been blowing out people.
Andrew said. You know. Yep. Another professional in the field, Andrew Deere.
First-year rookie. No,
yeah, it's all right.
The big one tonight, you're going to be in the press box this game in Death Valley. Bama at LSU, you know, how do you see this thing shaping up?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at during Nick Saban's tenure here, all the trips to Baton Rouge, they've been close. 2008, Alabama needed overtime to win that one. 2010, Alabama lost a 24-21 game that came down to the last play. Obviously, we all remember 2012 on a screen pass to Yeldon. And a couple years ago, you know, the offense didn't really show up until the end. Blake Sims leads that drive to tie it up and force overtime, and Alabama gets the win. So, you know, all these games have been very, very close. And I think this one's going to be close for a while as well, but I think Alabama's going to pull away and pull this one off 24-13. I think they're a better team. I still think LSU is very one-dimensional. I know Edling has done some good things for them in their offense, but I'm not sure if he's the type of quarterback that's going to, you know, get a win over Alabama. And I think they're going to do a pretty good job of containing Fournette. He may get more than 31 yards this year, but I don't think he'll go for 284 like he did against Ole Miss. So, like I said, I like Alabama to win this one in a tight game for a while, but I think Alabama and Jalen Hurts will find a way to make enough plays.
As many members, this is one of your favorite games to travel to? Because the fans talk about, obviously, you have to go to a night game in Death Valley. Talk to us about, from your standpoint, is this a fun game to go to? What, if not, what are the best ones in the SEC?
Yeah, definitely. You know, in terms of, you know, maybe it's just because the games are always so good. But, right, man, in terms of actual atmosphere, this is the best that I've been to in the SEC. And I've been to 13 of the 14 so far. So,
okay.
I think, you know, it's just one of those situations where the games are always – they always mean a lot. You know, both teams are usually pretty highly ranked. Both teams are usually pretty good. And I remember being down there in 2012 when they had Zach Mettenberg and they took the lead.
Yeah.
And, man, you couldn't hear yourself talk to the person, you know, that was 2 inches away from you. It was so loud in there. And then it was the exact opposite of that when Yeldon ran it in for that touchdown. I mean, it was – you've never seen a stadium full of 100,000 people change so dramatically so fast. And obviously in 2014, very similar.
Right.
You know, you got the expletive you Nick Saban chants and different things like that. And but, you know, they found a way to win it. And I think LSU fans really want this game. You heard a lot of the talk from their players coming out this week. And, you know, I respect that. If you're a competitor, you want to beat Alabama. You want to show everybody that, you know, you can compete with the best, especially the defending national champion. So, you know, I think it's going to be another good game, but I think Alabama has the edge here.
That's the beauty of college football, and you know, those big momentum swings, and you know, it's really exciting. This is one of the games that you circle on your calendar every year, no matter what, you know, what their records are, how good they're supposed to be. So it's really exciting.
And a lot of people are still talking about Fournette. He's just not he's not the force he was the last couple of years, I think. And so I'm less concerned about that than most people are. I kind of agree with you, Mark, and that I think it's going to be. You know, he may get some yards. It's not going to be 17 or whatever we held him to that last year, but or 30-something, right?
31.
He had something really, really awful in the first half, but he may get some yards, but it's certainly not going to be him dominating the game. I just don't see that as being a possible option. Yeah. They could throw the ball a few times. They could have a passing game all of a sudden that could get up on us a little bit and be close, but I don't think that's going to beat us.
I think his performance against Ole Miss was great. Not that there's a lot of expectation for him, but
Ole Miss
we'll
has
see.
Been leaky all year for everybody.
They're
best five-loss team in America,
now, aren't they?
Yeah. I feel like the four of us can line up and get a few yards against Ole Miss.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. At me at running back.
Yeah, exactly. Right, obviously.
Right, naturally. I'll sneak up on you.
Right. I don't know. I'd fall down as soon as I got the ball. I'd either fumble when I got the handoff from Hurts, I'd just fall down right there because I don't want to get hit by those guys. Let's just put it that way. Anyway.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks for playing along with us today. It's been a pleasure having you in the studio. We'll take a short break. Mark, Adam, and myself will be right back with our own picks. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, guys, we've heard some good picks from Mark Burnett. Now let's see how fearless we can be in making our own picks. We're going to start with a really early start right about now. Navy and Notre Dame at a neutral site, Jacksonville, Florida. What do you guys think?
At 10:30 a.m., Jacksonville. Really, really exciting stuff to start out the day. I'm going to pick Notre Dame over Navy. Navy's had they're having a good season. They've had a big win over Houston, but I think Notre Dame is going to handle them.
I want to pick Navy, but I don't think I can. Notre Dame actually plays more of these option teams than most other teams in the nation do because they play an awful schedule and
right.
play a lot of these kind of option teams. And so I think they're a little better prepared to face Navy as a defense. So I'll take Notre Dame, right? Is that what I said? Yeah, Notre Dame.
I'm going to agree with you guys. I think Notre Dame will find a way to win this game. Somehow I feel like because of the neutral site, they'll do better. I don't know why, but, you know, they get out of South Bend and get a little, you know, they've had a down year and get out of
get
South
some
Bend.
Some actual
little,
sunshine in them.
Yeah, and get away from kind of the you know, the madness of campuses
the
can be
that.
Constricting when you're losing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Get away from your fans, I guess is what I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know Notre Dame claims they have fans everywhere, and they do. But, I think they'll lighten up. I think they'll win this game.
Got to imagine not many Navy fans in Jacksonville. Certainly not as many as Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next one, you know, as we said earlier, setting this up, you know, for A&M, ranked number 4, very lofty ranking. They got they go to Starkville, Mississippi State.
Yeah, pressure's on for A&M. I think they beat Mississippi State. Mississippi State's down this year. Texas A&M.
Yeah,
Mississippi
State was a little better. I think this would be a scary game for them on the road, listening to themselves be number 4. But Mississippi State's just don't have anything.
I don't think the Cowboys are going to bother them.
Nope, A&M for sure.
I agree. I think A&M runs them out of their own stadium.
Yeah,
pretty much. Absolutely. Vandy at Auburn. Vandy goes to try to wreck the Gus Bus. What do you think?
I think Auburn wins. I don't think there's a situation here where Vandy can pull it off. Auburn's better than Georgia.
Yeah, Auburn's a lot better than Vanderbilt. It's pretty clean cut on this one for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. Southwest Texas, you know, big win last week. Texas at Texas Tech against the, you know, the Kingsbury, the poster boy, whatever his name is.
Beautiful
poster
man.
Boy's team.
Yeah,
it's
a good-looking dude.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. You know, will he be so beautiful in the game, though? What do you think?
I think the Longhorns are going to beat them. They're coming off a big win. Like I said, they have momentum. This is a game that you know, as a Texas fan, you're scared of, obviously because of the amount of points that Texas Tech score. But this is going to be a high-scoring affair that Texas is definitely going to win.
I'm taking beauty over brawn here. I'm taking Texas Tech to beat Charlie Strong. I think that Texas doesn't string together wins. I think they are – they don't understand how to win, I think, and winning twice in a row in a relatively difficult game is not something I believe they can do right now. What about you, Mark?
I think, you know, that
I'm starting to sway you.
Yeah, you're starting to sway me a little bit. You know, can Texas Texas Tech can score a lot of points. Mm-hmm. Can Texas match that? I'm going to go with Texas just because I feel like they're kind of on a little tiny roll here.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm going to go with them. I think maybe they're fired up and they'll win it. But you know.
I just like the fact that I made you think twice, Mark.
You did.
That's
you
really
actually you made me. You paused. I was looking at my picks, and you completely threw me off.
See, there you go.
Almost
fearless.
That's right.
Much
I just,
like their
I just couldn't be
beauty,
fearless.
It's very distracting sometimes.
Right.
Beauty
right.
versus Braun. I see what you did there.
Yes,
he was.
Right.
That was good
right.
stuff. That was
absolutely.
Good radio.
I just wake up with the stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go out to my beloved Big Ten Wisconsin at Northwestern. Northwestern gave Ohio State all they could handle, really. And you got Wisconsin traveling into the Chicago area where Cubs fans are probably still dancing in the streets. And so what is this, Evanston, right? Is that where Northwestern is, Evanston?
Yep,
that's exactly where it is.
So Wisconsin and Northwestern, what do you got there, Andrew?
I've got Wisconsin, definitely.
They teach geography there at Western Kentucky?
They do, yeah, absolutely. Wisconsin's going to win here. I know, like you said, Northwestern gave Ohio State a test. Wisconsin feels like they have something to prove with a couple losses. And they're a good football team. I think everybody knows
the
it.
The rankings probably get them pretty jacked
exactly.
up at this point.
Exactly.
They can use that as a motive.
Coaches will tell you that it doesn't matter. It does matter.
Absolutely.
It absolutely matters.
These are children.
Bulletin board material.
Right.
Those kids are on Twitter looking at what people are saying. They're going to beat Northwestern.
Yeah, I Wisconsin's a good football team. Mm-hmm. They are. Their only losses have been to good football teams. So, you know, I'm going with the Badgers in this.
All right. I am too. I like Pat Fitzgerald a lot, and I like the Northwestern team. I like what he's done there, but I think Wisconsin's too good this year to beat him. My other beloved conference, Georgia Tech at UNC early this morning. Georgia Tech has been disappointing, but this is an ACC battle. UNC's been better than we expected. What do you boys think?
I like the Tar Heels at home.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech, they got up big on Duke last week. Ended up being a really good game, and you know I think they might have a little bit of a hangover going into UNC this week.
I'm going to pick the Rambling Wreck. I'm going with Georgia Tech. Yeah, I think they used that little momentum from the Duke game, which nearly got out of hand for them. That's true.
Right.
But I think they'll go in there and, you know, get their running game going again, and I think they'll beat UNC.
You're going
I think
with
it'll be very close.
Huh?
I'm going with Engineers.
I'd like to do that. I love me some Engineers, but I'm going to go Tar Heels at home. I think if it was in Atlanta, I think in Midtown, Georgia Tech wins this game, but I think in Carolina, UNC takes it. Right. Pittsburgh at Miami. You've spoken, Andrew, about my love for Pittsburgh.
This is your game. You're watching every second of this game,
I am.
Aren't you?
This is me and about probably 1,200 people in Miami will watch it live.
There you go.
And so Pittsburgh at Miami. This Pittsburgh's got some stake in here for their side of the ACC.
They do, yeah. I think Pittsburgh's going to win. They're going to go down to Miami and get it done.
Miami's bad.
They're not
I
good.
Think they're bad. Yeah.
Their
yeah,
coach
I,
is a really great guy, though. Let's not
nice
forget
guy.
That.
No, he's a nice guy,
Let's
no
not
doubt.
Forget
I,
that.
So you said you think Adam, you think 1,200 people, so a huge turnout.
Yeah,
huge
it's
turnout.
Big.
Yeah,
from
record,
my turnout.
Record breaking. For
yeah,
that's good stuff.
I think Pitt goes in there and slams them. Well, I say slam them. I think it'd be pretty close, but I think Pitt wins it too.
Well, Adam will have to tell us about it.
I think
like, I'm
Pitt,
not going to watch.
Pitt wins. No, none of those 1,200 paid for tickets. Mark, don't misconstrue mine. They're free.
Oh yeah, they just
paper
hand them out on
town,
the street.
They're going to make their money on the concession.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. An hour and 45 minutes away from the campus.
Right. They look at their stadium as a TV studio.
They
know?
Do.
It's not about the fans. It's about getting on TV.
It's the new
right.
Hard Rock
yeah.
stadium,
there we go.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Like the new
yeah.
sponsors. So, anyway. Yeah. So much like the success of – anyway. So Florida at Arkansas, SEC going out to Arkansas. Mark Burnett had some very, very clear thoughts on this game. I think it's a little more interesting than Burnett led us to believe, but – you know, he's a professional, and I'm not. So what do you think, Mark?
I'm going Florida. I think Florida's, you know, I think I sort of buy into what Mark said a little bit in that Arkansas is kind of beaten down. I don't know how they lost by so many points mm-hmm. to Auburn. I still don't understand that. But I think because of that, there's kind of a, you know, they're questioning themselves. They have to be doing that. And I think Florida has a lot to play for right now in the SEC East. So I expect Florida to outscore them by about maybe a field goal, maybe yeah. 10 points,
okay.
but probably a field goal.
The thought of Florida stumbling into another trip to Atlanta makes me sick, honestly. And so I'm rooting for Arkansas big time, so I'm going to pick Arkansas. Who honestly knows who's going to win this game? Who knows what Florida team's going to show up?
That's
if
true.
That defense does show up like they have been, Arkansas is going to have a really, really tough time. But I think it being at Arkansas gives them the edge. So
I was prepared to pick Arkansas for similar reasons, and I'm going with Burnett. I'm going to take the Lizards just because of the whole beating up Arkansas thing.
Yeah.
They weren't that good
yeah.
to begin with, and so if they're down any bit, I don't think they can pull it off. I'm a secret Kansas State fan as well, so Oklahoma State at Kansas State 2:30 in here in the Little Apple. What do you all have for this one?
I got Oak State.
Okay.
I think Oak State goes in there and beats them. But it is hard to beat Kansas State at home.
It yeah. is.
So, but I'll go Oak State.
I've got this. I've got Oklahoma State purely because Mike Gundy has an outrageous haircut.
He does.
There's no football reason I'm picking that. But
he's a man. He's 40.
He is 40. So
yeah, I can't pick Kansas State either. I'm sorry. I want to. Little Apple, but I just can't pull it off. So I'm going to go Okie State as well. Another game that somebody will find interest in, BYU at Cincinnati. They play
Someone
football
will.
At
right.
Cincinnati.
Right.
And so I'm just going to start out here and saying I'm going to take BYU to beat Cincinnati
yeah.
on the road.
Yeah. I'm taking the Cougars
yeah,
as well.
Straight through.
I'm with you. I'm with you to both of you, BYU.
All right. Andrew, why don't you take us out to TCU at Baylor, a far more interesting game last year and in previous years than maybe this year, but Baylor's got something to prove now that they've got a loss, and
right.
TCU's got a bunch of them, right?
Absolutely. Wake game in Waco. Like you mentioned, Baylor you know, got their first loss against Texas last week, and you know, TCU coming into town, they're excited. I think they're going to win. So, Dr. Pepper for everyone.
TCU? You're
no, yeah. Oh, Baylor. I don't know who you picked. Baylor. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. All right. Dr. Pepper, no doubt. I'm going to go Baylor, too. I'm going to go Baylor.
I was testing you guys.
I think, yeah, yeah. We handled well.
I think TCU's nothing near what they used to be, so I'm going Baylor.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to have to go Baylor, too.
All right.
So, last 2:30 game, Mark's guy, the khaki lord, against Maryland. Who do you guys have?
Maryland's bad at football.
They're not good. Yeah.
They're good at a lot of things in that state, and at this university, they're not great at football, so I'm going to have to take Mark's beloved khaki lord and his goblet of milk.
I would absolutely love to see the khaki lord fall on his face on this one, but I can't. I gotta
it's not
going to
happen.
It ain't going to happen. This is Maryland, after all, so they're going to win. Michigan wins this.
I'm taking Michigan as well. So, starting at 6 p.m., we have Adam's beloved Florida State at NC State Wolfpack. Adam, start us off. Talk to us about the game. What
so
do you
I
got to
be honest with you. I got one of my best friends from college coming in town this weekend. Both of my best friends from college coming in town. And one of them will be here Saturday night, and he'll be here to watch this game. We probably haven't watched a Florida State game together in 15 years.
It's exciting stuff.
And we both, via email, have certainly just – we will go on the road and lose to NC State. That is what we do. The second it was a night game, I picked us to lose. I am going to pick us to win because that's what I do, and I'm a homer, and my buddy Bill is in town. It's going to be awesome. We both instantly, as two lifelong Florida State fans, picked them to lose on the road at NC State.
Now, you might lose the game, but you don't have to lose the watch party.
It's true.
Just have some great snacks.
Yeah, we'll be
fine. Great
don't
company.
Worry. We're going to have a nice time.
You know. So.
There's three big games on this night for our household, though.
I like Florida State as well. You almost talked me out of
be
it,
better.
But I'm
we
yeah,
should be
they
better.
should be. So I'm going to pick Florida State.
I'm going Florida State too. Quickly, let's get through these other games.
Oregon
out at USC, and USC's playing pretty well. What do y'all think?
Trojans.
Yeah, Trojans all the way. Oregon's bad.
Yeah, me too. I think Trojans win it big. Iowa at Penn State. We discussed it a little bit earlier, but who you think?
I think Penn State wins because Iowa's really bad and Penn State's just kind of bad.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
I don't think Penn State can sustain their win against Buckeyes.
No.
I'm with you.
Huge program win, though.
I'm with both of you, Penn State. In the SEC, 6:30, Georgia at Kentucky. What do you think?
We got excited about this game earlier. I'm also going with the Cats. I don't ever do that. What world do we live in where I'm picking Kentucky over Georgia?
I'm going with my favorite Stoops and my favorite Mark. I'm going Kentucky all the way.
There we go. Classic. I'm with you, though. I'm going Kentucky. You know, bourbon and horse racing.
This
what
is
can
so
you do?
Weird I that think, we've all chosen
yeah,
Kentucky.
It's not normally football added to that thing.
No, no.
Kentucky. Basketball, bourbon, and horse racing. But football this time. I'm going Kentucky. Yeah. In the Midwest, a big game, Nebraska at Ohio State. Who you guys got?
Ohio State at home, they have something to prove. And they're the better team. So Nebraska did take a tough loss last week. This Nebraska team's a lot better than we expected, I think. But Ohio State at home is just they're going to make it happen.
I agree with Andrew. I think for the sake of my home life, I could really use a big Ohio State win here. Yeah. It would help out. Things have gotten tough in the household some of these late night games, and so I'm going Ohio State too. Just
Sundays
my,
are tougher.
Yeah,
Sunday,
just for my personal livelihood.
I'm with you guys. This is going to be a very interesting game, though. We're going to find out if Ohio State is really motivated now to get into the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And so I think if they struggle in this game, Nebraska is a good team.
I think that's very realistic.
It's
going to
tell us a lot. But I think they pick the game up, and I think they punch Nebraska. I think they win this game.
I think it's tough to know how good Nebraska is. And I know they lost to Wisconsin, which I certainly got that pick wrong. But we'll see tonight, certainly. In the shoe at night, that's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
And finally, the late night game, Washington at Cal, and we discussed Washington motivated. How do you think they'll do against Cal?
I think they're going to win. They want the college playoff. They want the respect. And
I think the
win.
Number five ranking gets them a win this week. I don't know if they continue winning, but I think this week
Baltimore.
I agree with you. I'm not sure I would have picked them. Well, I might have, but I certainly – it's an easier pick now because Washington was number five. They got to be motivated going into
Cal. It was a coin
flip
for me.
Absolutely.
And, I think they win it. So. All right, well, that'll pretty much do it for games around the nation. Let's take another break, and we'll be back to give our predictions on Bama-LSU down in Baton Rouge tonight. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone here in beautiful Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We are all set for a huge road game tonight. We've thought about it. We've talked about it. But time to put up or shut up. What do you gentlemen think? Co-hosts, common professionals, fellows in the field, Tuscaloosa residents, what do you all think will happen in this game this evening?
Well, I think Alabama's going to win. I'll go ahead and just say it right off the bat. But this
all right, well, thank you for listening to Skybox. We got to build. We got to build today.
I know. Okay. But this game is more intriguing, and it's a lot more fun and exciting, a lot more hype than it was maybe after week three or four when Auburn beat LSU. Right. Les Miles got fired.
We kind of wrote this one off a little bit, maybe.
What Ogeron's done is, you know, he's put some, I guess, liveliness back in the program and made this game fun.
There's a great story going around online on Twitter and stuff, right, about the why LSU decided to play offense all of a sudden.
That's just it.
And I agree with that story of just, wow, you know what they decided to do? Like, have an offense. Just understand the concept of offense. And
so every 10 yards, you get a first down, and then you just keep doing that until you score
it
points.
It just seems like they haven't tried for a while, and all of a sudden it takes somebody different just to try.
True.
Throw the ball, run the ball.
Unusual. Who would have thought? Who would have thought, you know? Well, it's going to be it's an important game. Night in Baton Rouge is crazy. I mean, I was there 2 years ago at the game.
It's bananas.
And it's crazy, crazy. Those people, no offense, but those people have been drinking since 8 a.m. in the morning. And, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they've been drinking soft drinks. Right. I don't know. drinking something. But it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. They want to win this game. They are tired of losing to Bama. I mean, you know that. We talked about it earlier, but Fournette is tired of being shut down against Alabama. They have a lot of motivation.
They sure do.
They do have a renewed spirit with offense, with Coach O. The real question is, will we be able to understand him at the news conference after the game?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He you know, he tends to mumble, I guess, say that nicely. He's a good coach. He's a good man, no doubt. I think Bama, you know, I think obviously Bama wins it. I'm going to say something like 38-17. I think Fournette's going to get some yards. I think Bama's going to score on these people. And I think for the last 2 weeks, Alabama in practice has been working on Jalen Hurts improving his accuracy and throwing. And I think
down the field throws?
I think they know they have to throw to win this football game. And they have to, you know, Bama has had these great skill receivers. I think this is when Jalen Hurts has a sort of a breakthrough in passing, gets it to probably the best receiving core as a group in the country. And I think we're going to see – I think Ardarius Stewart's going to step up in this game.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make some great – these are the kinds of games he steps up and makes these incredible acrobatic catches, and I think we're going to see some of those. I do think LSU's going to score. I don't think we're going to hold Fournette to 31 yards anymore. I think he might get 100. I think I think he's going to be their workhorse.
He wants to run,
I think he's going to score, but I would say 38-17. I think we're going to win it pulling away at the end. I really do.
I know our listeners and are tired of hearing it, but if LSU can hold on to the ball and not turn the ball over, that's a huge key to the game. Adam, you mentioned earlier, it is debilitating the teams when you turn it over. You throw pick sixes, you give up a punt return. And if LSU can – if they can, you know, hold on to the ball – play special teams the way that they're supposed to, this could be a good game.
Absolutely. Back to what Mark was saying, I think Fournette could get 120 yards and and two touchdowns, and we could still kind of always be in control of the game.
Absolutely.
Good point.
And I don't know if I thought that last year or the year before, that, you know, if he got that, then we're going to lose. And so I think because we can score points, we can throw the ball, we can mix it up a bit differently. I think what did – Burnett pick 24-13 or something?
Yeah, 24-13.
So I think it'll be closer to that. I think there could be a 27-16, but it never really feel that close.
Yeah.
I think pulling away in the second half makes sense, like you and Mark Burnett said. But I think we look dominant, but we don't score as many points possibly.
Okay.
And Fournette gets his yards and gets a touchdown or two, and good for him. But he's not going to be in New York in December, and I think he's just not the running back he was a year or two ago.
No.
Yeah, I mean, again, the motivation, Bama has a big target on their back. This is, arguably LSU's been Bama's biggest rival over these last 5 years, six, 7 years, because they've been in contention. And you can't ever take this game lightly. Mm-hmm. But we also know Alabama plays very well on the road. It'd be very unusual for them to go in there and not play well on the road. They're just a good road team. And this is a tough place to play on the road. But Bama normally plays well there. Although the last couple games there have been close. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been, you know, took them to overtime last time. As Mark Burnett mentioned, the Yeldon run, the catch and run 2 years early before that. But I don't think this one's going to be as close. I think it's going to be more like it was here last year.
And those were times where I felt that we were the better team for sure going in there, and we still kind of struggled to make it close. And to your point, you know, mentioning almost Jalen having a breakout game, which is funny to say because he's had a breakout season.
Has he had
the defining game where on TV tonight where everybody's saying how tough it is to play, does he come out and he wings the ball around and throws some deep passes and makes a couple little runs that puts together a highlight package for him on the biggest stage? And I think that could be tonight. I think that's a great point, Mark, and hopefully that is for him because I think he deserves it for sure.
Yeah, right. Saban said a few days ago, you know, he did say they've been working with him on his passing, and to me that was a big indication of what's going on. And they know they have to loosen the passing game up to beat this team in their house, and I think that's – What's going to happen?
He's played so well that we're not even talking about him possibly being rattled down there tonight. And I think that's just a testament to how well he's played and how well this team's been prepared. And it's just another impressive, another thing that impresses about this kid, really.
If you got a quarterback that young that's still starting for the number one team in the country at this point in the season, then that means they are getting better week after week after
week.
And so if that is the case, then the best version of Jalen that we've seen this entire year should be there tonight. And I don't think we need the best version of Jalen to win tonight, but I think it will certainly help us in a tough environment. I clearly we're homers and we pick Bama every week, but this is a big game.
Yeah, and our defense is going to step up. I think many games now with a non-offensive touchdown. I think we might see one. I think they're going to. Right. I think Tim Williams, Jonathan Allen, they are going to put pressure like LSU has not seen all year.
What a luxury. We just talked for 7 minutes about the game and didn't mention the defense until the last second.
Right. And
they're the strongest thing we got going.
Every team that we've watched Alabama play, they've had that frustrating – at least one a quarter or half or this and, you know, one moment that says, wow, this Alabama defense is miserable to play
against. Getting close here, and if I just get this score and then flip the field, we'll be fine. And, nope, that's it. You're done.
Right. Yeah.
Well, all right, everybody. That'll do it for another edition of Skybox. It's been another fun one. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Dylan. It's not my Nobel Prize. Burby, and to Terry Siggers, the general manager of WVUA-FM. If you're heading down to Baton Rouge, be careful on the roads. Get there and back safely in the Red Stick. And join us again next week, same time, same station. Special thanks to Mark Burnett. You've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Tide.